This morning. I love that song, and we're going to be introducing that to the church over the next few weeks. And I love it because it reminds us that our joy is found in the Lord. It is not circumstantial. It is not based on anything in this world. And so we have a lot of hope, and we can have joy as we come and gather this morning. So let's stand and continue in worship together.
I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah. Fear comes to fight for me.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, you are great. You are awesome. You are supreme. There is no other like you. For you to call us to be a part of you is amazing. It's amazing to have you be a part of our life. To know you better, to have you working in us and through us. And Jesus, as we prayed earlier, we do feel like we're in a battle. And we're thankful to know that when we pray, you hear our prayers and you respond. And we're praying a lot in the midst of battles. battles of humankind, battles of nature, battles of circumstance, battles of relationship. Lord, we know that to come to you means to grab a hold of victory. And yes, Lord, you know us. We love victory in this life. We love victory in a particular moment in life. We know that eternally you will give us all victory, all who call upon your name. And as we call upon your name this morning, Jesus, you know what fills our mind, our heart, and our soul. Yes, we want to confess things to you. We need to get them off of our chest, so to speak. We offer those things to you, those things that are heavy upon us. And we offer them to you because we know that your yoke is a light one, that you exchange our guilt and our shame for a sense of freedom, unconditional love, mercy. Jesus, you also know what has been disturbing to us as we've watched and listened, have we've read. And yeah, we do feel like we're in a battle, that there's a battle on all sides. And so give us your Holy Spirit. Help us to put on the full armor that you give us before we go out into the world, into that daily battle. For you haven't left us defenseless. You haven't left us alone. You have not left us to our own devices. And we're so thankful for that you have a plan and a purpose, and that you are with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, in these moments, we want to praise you. We want to give you the glory and the honor that you and only you deserve. Give us your Holy Spirit that we might worship you both in truth and in spirit this morning. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can wave, or is there more songs?
There is one more song.
Okay. There's one more song.
A little bird told me today is your birthday. So, church, will you join me in singing to our dear Pastor Scott?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Scott. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much.
We love you.
If you're with us on live stream this morning, please join the chat that's happening right now, and you too can follow along and interact as the balance of the service takes place. Wow, it's a birthday today. Here's the other interesting thing that this Sunday brings. This Sunday, 26 years ago, the first Sunday in September was the first time I preached at Squim Community Church. Yeah, it was a little while ago. So we're celebrating that today as well. God is good. Let me give you some awesome announcements. We do have a place for you in the ongoing programs, ministries, and activities of our church. Today, the thing we're highlighting is small groups. Reverend Rick Dietzman will be available in the adult portable at 10:15 and 11:15 to answer any questions you have about small groups. If you don't have any questions, you can just fill out the registration sheet. Leave it with one of the ushers or greeters when you exit. You can do it online. You can call the church office and they'll sign you up as well. We're a church that believes life and faith happen best in a small group. I think we grow best in a small group. I know we're supported best in a small group. And I was with a small group last week, and we had a good celebration. So there's some things to celebrate as well. And I think that happens with a few more people at the party, right? The other sheet that you'll find is about creating a welcome kit for Afghan people who are being relocated to the Seattle area. It might sound like that's a difficult thing to do, but I think you'll find it's easier than you think. The items that we're putting together, a box that we're building for them for their home, the items are listed on the back. And you can do a whole kit yourself. You can bring part of a kit, and we'll put kits together. Yes, we have a secret shopper. And if you would like to write a check to Afghan Relief, or you note that when you go online to bring your tithe and your offering, you can designate this as an offering, and we'll pool that money. And you'll see that Melody Wilson is going to be the coordinator, and she'll coordinate the kits being put together, people going and shopping with the money that's donated, as well as transporting all the kits over to a central location. I think it's going to be in Tacoma. So we can do something good in what has been an awful, even terrifying, deadly thing that we have watched and heard. And to do something positive for people who are coming to America, I believe, is a great opportunity. We have Bible studies. We have other activities. I just encourage you to check us out on the live stream, on our website, and when in doubt, call the office. We have somebody there to answer your questions and direct you to ministries. Linda Spriney is going to read our scripture passage today.
This morning, I'm reading from John 16, 28 to 33. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world."
Gracious Lord and Father, I want to thank you for today. Yeah, I want to thank you that you're a God who's not far off. You're not a God that we have to shout to, a God we have to find on mountaintops, but instead, you're a God who is here with us, who wants to be here with us. God, we just ask that as we move into the sermon time, that you would just bless the words. Let whatever is spoken here be what you want to be said, and whatever is not from you, let it be forgotten. God, let us be still and know that you are with us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So recently, I was watching television late at night, and on comes a commercial. And it starts with a woman getting ready to put a bowl into her kitchen cabinets. And as she opens the door, an avalanche of plates and mugs falls on top of her. Then the narrator gets on and he goes, "Don't you hate when this happens to you? The stress of having an unorganized kitchen. Don't you hate having cupboards that are a wreck?" Well, those days are behind you with the Kitchen Organizer 9000. It'll save you time, It'll save you stress. It'll save your relationships. And you got to understand that as this commercial is going on, it was pretty late, so I was pretty tired. But as the narrator is talking more and more, I go, yes, yes, this is the product that I need. This is the thing that is going to save me so much time. It's going to change my life. I need to get this. And so I pull out my phone to make 4 easy payments of $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And then a little voice comes on in my head, and it's like, Keith, it's a kitchen organizer. Chill out. And I thought, yeah, this is not going to impact me in any way. It's not going to do anything that it says it can do. It's not going to save me time. It's not going to save me stress. It's not going to save my relationships. And people and products, they do this all the time. They tell us what they think we want to hear. They make these big claims, but ultimately they can't fulfill them. They give us false advertising, fake promises, a cheap hope. And that's what I love about Jesus. Jesus never sells us on easy fixes. He doesn't tell us just what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear. He gives us honest truths when we need them. And that's what we see in this passage. To give some perspective, this occurs during the Last Supper. It's called this because Jesus and his disciples are going to share one final meal before he goes to the cross. The next day, Jesus is going to be tried, condemned, and crucified. He knows this is going to be the last time he can talk with his followers before his death. And he understands the road ahead, it's not going to be easy. It's going to have its fair share of difficulty for the disciples. But Jesus, he doesn't give his followers false advertising. He doesn't tell them, you know, everything's going to be great. He doesn't sell them on this illusion that things will be fine all the time. Instead, he's honest with them. He tells them exactly what's going to happen. He states, in this world, you will have trouble. And I love this honesty because this is our reality too. A lot has changed in the last 2,000 years, but what hasn't is that we still live in a troubled world. We still live on an earth damaged by sin. And the last 18 months has done a really good job of reminding us of that fact. Natural disasters, economic struggles, political strife, wars and rumors of wars, diseases and viruses, it just seems like more and more and more keeps getting piled on. The last year and a half has shattered this illusion that we live in a perfect world. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. When suffering and brokenness breaks into our lives, we all look for something to take heart in. We all look for something to have faith in, to have hope in, something to believe in, something that is going to weather us through the storms. And there are a lot of things that make this promise, a lot of things that say if we put our faith in them, they will protect us from the troubles of this world. One of those things is possessions. We're told that our stuff can protect us. If we have the right shoes, we'll be safe from sadness. If we have the perfect house, our family will be whole and intact. If we have enough money, we'll be buffeted from the blows of this life. And of course, there's nothing wrong with possessions on their own. The Bible, especially the book of Proverbs, talks a lot about being wise with what we've been given. It's okay to have nice shoes or a big house or to invest our money well. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But there's something fundamentally wrong about believing that our possessions are going to protect us, about putting our ultimate hope in our stuff. No amount of things can save us from this troubled world because our possessions are unstable. Fashions come and go. The housing markets change. Stocks go up, and then stocks go down. What we have today might be gone tomorrow. Sometimes having more just means that we have more to lose. And more importantly, there are some problems that our possessions can't fix. A nice pair of shoes doesn't let you outrun your past. An expensive house can't fix a broken family. A huge portfolio can't fill the hole in our hearts. All the money in the world can't stop death. Possessions can't save us from the troubles of this world. We can't take heart in possessions, and we can't take heart in politics. Now, I know what you're thinking here. Oh, Keith, bold move, talking about politics in your sermon. But here's the thing. I actually feel pretty confident to talk about politics, mainly because I have this nice shield in front of me. So anything you throw, not going to hit me. So no worries. But hear me out on this one. We all have different views on government. Some of us support this political leader. Some of us support that political leader. Some of us like a large government. Some of us prefer a smaller government. But regardless of our differences, if we're honest, we can look at this world and recognize that governments can't fully protect us from our problems. You know, I've lived enough life to see Democrats and Republicans as president. I've seen both liberals and conservatives maintain a majority in Congress. I've seen a variety of people hold positions in city leadership. And you know what I've discovered? No matter who's in political office, we still have problems. Our country still has its troubles. Our community still has its troubles. We still have trouble. Not even the best government in the world could save us from all the problems of life. And this isn't even to mention the problems that governments cause, the scandals, abuses of power, the way individuals tear each other down because of differences of opinion. And I just want to be real clear here. Of course, government has its place, and it can make our lives better. I'm glad we have paved roads. I'm glad we have cops and firefighters. I'm glad we have clean water so I can make a cup of coffee. But just like possessions, politics falls short when we put our ultimate hope in it to protect us from the troubles of this world. We can't take heart in possessions, we can't take heart in politics, and we can't take heart in other people. We can't put our full faith in other people. But I mean, you probably didn't need me to tell you this, right? Just take a drive and swim, and you'll know what I mean. You'll be out, going, you know, just cruising along, and then all of a sudden, the driver in front of you makes a turn with no warning. Like, they make a left, and you had no idea that it was coming. There's this amazing technology that cars have. It's called turn signals that, you know, let other people know when we're going to be turning. You know, you can't always put your faith in other people. Or another example, you'll be in the checkout line in Safeway. You're in that express checkout line, you know, 12 items or less, and the person in front of you clearly has more than 12 items. Like, you've counted your fingers, you've taken off your shoes, you counted your toes, and you still haven't gotten to the number of items they have. Or another example, people being unreliable. You're talking to somebody, you're like, oh, this person is so amazing, they're going to be a great friend, and then you find out they're a Patriots fan. Just unreliable. People can't be trusted. And individuals, they might, you know, be unreliable in ways that aren't quite as funny. They might spread rumors about us. They might say hurtful things to us. They might damage us with their actions. And even the best people in our lives, our friends and family, they won't always be there for us. People move away. They get sick. They die. The sad truth is that on this earth, everybody we know, either we're going to leave them or they're going to leave us. And by putting our hope in other people that they can save us from the troubles of this world, it's going to set us up for disappointment. We can't take heart in possessions, we can't take heart in politics, we can't take heart in other people, and we can't take heart in our own power. We can't take heart in our own power. There's this prevalent idea in American culture that we can and should be able to do everything on our own. You know, we have phrases like, if you're down, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. right? If bad things happen to you, just keep calm and carry on. When the troubles of this world hit, when life gives you lemons, what are you able to do? Turn to lemonade, right? You can turn any problem around by your own willpower. We have this idea that we can have faith in our own abilities. But if you're anything like me, if you stop and think about this for a second, you realize, wow, this is probably something I shouldn't put faith in. I shouldn't put my take heart in my own power. I mean, I have flaws. I make mistakes. I almost buy kitchen cabinet organizers that I don't really need. You know, we're all flawed. And one day we're going to be let down by our own power. We have a body that gets injured, that gets sick, that grows old. We have a mind that believes untruths. We have emotions that aren't always reliable. We can't do everything on our own. You see, there's this problem with believing that possessions or politics or people or our own power or anything of this earth can save us from troubles. The problem is that we can't choose something of this world and expect that it's going to save us from the troubles of this world. First off, because anything of this earth, it isn't powerful enough to protect us from all the troubles of this earth. And furthermore, anything of this world is going to bring its own fair share of problems because it's a part of this troubled world. We need something apart from creation, something greater than this world, to help us in the troubles of this life. And that's the promise we're given in this passage. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. And it's in these words of Jesus we find our hope. Our hope isn't that life's always going to be easy. Our hope isn't that our circumstances will always be stress-free. Our hope isn't that we can live in a world free of trouble. Our hope is in Jesus. What makes Jesus so amazing is that he is fully human. And that means he knows what it's like to live in a troubled world. He knows pain and betrayal and brokenness. He knows what it's like to be human. But he's also fully God, meaning that he is over and outside of this earth. He's more powerful than all the suffering of the world. Our hope is that in the midst of stress and viruses and economic downturns and natural disasters and wars and hardships and anxiety and depression, we have a God who understands our trouble and a God who has overcome our trouble. We rejoice that the pain of this world doesn't get the final say. Jesus is someone we can take heart in. We can put our full confidence in Jesus because what he promised to do, he did. What's so amazing about our faith is that the battle has already been decided. It is finished. We're not anxiously biting our fingernails, waiting for things to play out. Through the cross and resurrection, Jesus showed us the victory over the troubles of this world. Our hope is anchored to a moment in the past. A moment that cannot be changed. That's why we can be so confident in the words of Jesus. And as Jesus' followers, we get to share in this victory. Paul states that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. How amazing is that? The spirit of life is inside of each of us. We're in this world with the spirit of victory, and that gives us hope. The God who has overcome the darkest parts of this world, he lives inside of us and he walks with us. And this message is something we should share. This hope is something that our community desperately needs, our country desperately needs, and our world desperately needs. When we take the message of Jesus and tell others about it, we become an unstoppable church. What's so incredible is that when we look back through history, in some of the darkest parts of the world, that's when God did his best work. In great hours of need, countless people were brought to faith, not because the church ran away from problems, but instead because the church ran towards problems with the hope of Jesus. And this is the opportunity that we have. We can impact so many people for Jesus when we share with others why we can take heart in these challenging times. None of us enjoy being in difficult moments, but when we go into hardships with hope, that's when God can change lives. To quote a famous pastor, Craig Rochelle, "When the world gets darker, the light of Jesus gets brighter." When the world gets darker, the light of Jesus gets brighter. And we can change so many lives by sharing this life. As Christians, we don't have false advertising or fake promises or a cheap hope. We have a risen Lord who has overcome the troubles of this world and invites us into this victory. To conclude, being a Christian doesn't mean we're always going to be free from hardship. Even Jesus faced difficulties. But being a Christian means that our troubles don't have to define us, that we can face all of our problems with the spirit of victory inside of us. And when we go and tell others about this hope we found, we can change so many lives. So take heart, because with Jesus, we can overcome the troubles of this world. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord and Creator, we want to thank you for this day. God, we want to thank you that you're a God who decided to come down to earth, that it wasn't enough just to send your prophets. It wasn't enough to just send your words. Instead, you sent the word. You sent yourself in Jesus to know what it's like to be human, to feel our pain and our brokenness, to live in this troubled world. And God, we thank you so much that through Jesus, you have overcome this world, that you've given us the ability to share in this victory, that we can go out into this world, we can go out into our communities and praise your name, that we know that what we face isn't the end, that we look forward to the day when we will have eternal life, and we look forward to this day because you've given us life that we can always cling to. We just ask that you be with us throughout the rest of our weeks and remind us of this spirit you've given us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. One of the great ways that we can remember what God has done for us is by sharing in communion. You may remember how this meal was instituted. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus, with his followers, took the bread. And after giving thanks to God, he blessed and he broke it. And he says to his disciples, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, as the meal was nearing its completion, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God, he poured. And he said to his followers, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It has been shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins." And as we eat the bread and we drink of this cup, we remember our Lord's death and his resurrection until he comes again. So now, church friends, I invite you to partake of the bread and drink of the cup. We remember our Lord coming into this world, being in this troubled world for us, and then rising again to overcome our troubles. Amen.
Is there
We serve a living King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We praise Him this morning. Thank you all for joining us. God bless you as you go out this week. We'll see you next Sunday.